Well, do keep that passage open in front of you as we continue our series. We're just getting started, really, in the book of Romans. Let us pray before we look again at that passage. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word, and we pray now as we look again at this part of your word of Romans, that you would open our eyes to see how important it is to encourage each other. And we pray that as we do so, you would encourage us to encourage each other. Amen. Well, can I just say that going on holidays is one of the great things of life. Do people enjoy holidays here? Yeah, I do. I can tell you, I love holidays. Holidays are filled with fun stuff to do, like motorbike riding on the farm at Goolandaddy. That'd be great. Oh, got to get back there. Or catching up with old friends for a coffee. Or walking along the beach. Or sandcastles. And the great thing is you get to build them each day because the comes in and washes it away. So the surf, watching dolphins, whales or whatever it is we do on a holiday. Holidays are fantastic. But you know, one of the best things about holidays, and that is going to church on holidays. Come Sunday morning, we pack the kids in the car and we rock up to whatever is the local Bible teaching church. And of course, you find there faithful Bible teaching from that friendly minister or pastor. But also, there's a friendly group of Christians there. And they welcome us in. And if we're really lucky, we get a kids' talk. That's like, you know, fantastic. Church on holidays is great. And part of what makes it great is that you get to see what God is doing in and through other people elsewhere. It might sound like a strange thing for a minister to say, but one of the highlights of our holidays always is going to church. And we almost always come away really encouraged. And you know, it might sound strange, but my experience isn't really as strange as it sounds, for it's not actually a new experience. For long ago, someone else was talking about something very similar. His name was also Paul. And he wrote the letter we're looking at today to some Christians in Rome in the first century AD that he is going to go and visit. So have a look again at verse 9 with me. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Paul expresses in this passage his deep longing to meet the Christians in the ancient city of Rome. Rome is somewhere that Paul has never been. He's never met these people he's writing to. And he's wanting to meet these Christians that he's never met. You can probably feel as you read that passage just how much he's longing. He really wants to meet these Christians. And there is a strong bond there between them, despite the fact that they've never met. He prays for them, and he longs to meet with them. It's a little bit like how a chocoholic might long for that next piece of Lindt or Cadbury Dairy Milk, or Daryl Lee, or whatever it is. You're almost itching for it. And it gives you kind of an idea. Paul, though, longs to meet the Christians of Rome. And friends, that is how it often is with us and Christians in other places. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ who happen to live in, I don't know, Yamba or Goolandaddy or Melbourne or Monado. As Christians, I don't know if you ever recognize this, but we have family everywhere. We have family almost everywhere. In most villages, towns, and cities across the planet, we will find other followers of Jesus if we look hard enough. It is a joy to meet with these Christians when we bump into them. And it should be something that we long for. A highlight of any trip, meeting with our brothers and sisters in Christ wherever we are. So, friends, wouldn't it be silly if we went on holidays and didn't seek to meet up with Christians? That'd be a silly thing to do, wouldn't it? I mean, sometimes you can't help it. If you're trekking across the overland track in the middle of Tasmania and there's no one else literally for miles, then you can't meet with them, can you? So, don't be too harsh on yourself. But when we're in a city or a town, there's usually a bunch of Christians somewhere gathering, and we can meet up with them. And we'd miss out on one of the best bits of travelling, which is the opportunity to share with God's people from somewhere else, if we said, no, I think I'll sleep in. And sharing there is, as we see in the next verse. Have a look at verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now, the giving of gifts is a standard part of visiting someone else. If you're invited to someone's house, what's the question that you normally ask? Anyone tell me? Yeah, what can I bring? Yeah. So I was, brought up as a barbarian in the far north, and I didn't know this. And so I never knew to ask that question and never brought anything and wondered why people looked at me strangely. But the good news is I've been in training now for several decades with Lorraine, and she's been teaching me, and now I'm at the point where even if they say, oh, no, don't trouble yourself, you don't need to bring anything, I bring something anyway, because that is what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, good, thank you. All that is to say that gift-giving is normal, isn't it? When you visit someone, there's an exchange of gifts. Well, Paul takes this concept and he applies it not to physical gifts but to spiritual gifts in this verse. He does talk about physical gifts in chapter 15, verse 24, and we will get there eventually. But here he's talking about spiritual gifts. When he visits the Christians in Rome, they will exchange spiritual gifts. And what are these spiritual gifts? Well, the first one's there in verse 12. Have a look at verse 12. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So the first gift is actually a mutual one. They both give it. Each other's faith is the first gift. Paul will benefit from their faith in Jesus, which he's been hearing about. We read verse 8, he's been hearing about their faith. Then he'll actually see their faith in Jesus. And they will benefit from his faith in the Lord Jesus. How do they benefit? Well, we see here the gift is one of encouragement. Paul's faith in Jesus will encourage the Christians in Rome, and their faith in Jesus will encourage him. Just knowing that the other person or persons have faith in Jesus encourage them to keep trusting Jesus and to keep following Jesus. In one sense, it's similar to a support group. Now, what is a support group? Well, the way a support group works is the simple presence of others who are in the same situation is encouraging. It's a key factor in keeping members of the group on track. And in a similar way, the very presence of each other is encouraging for both Paul and the Christians in Rome. They encourage each other. So, friends, I don't know if you've ever realized this, but there is great power in turning up. Have you ever wanted to encourage other followers of Jesus? Well, then the answer is turn up. Meet with them. Even if you do nothing at church or your connect group or any Christian gathering anywhere, you have done something powerful by just showing up. Your mere presence encourages other Christians to keep following Jesus. For they see you have the same faith that they do in the Lord Jesus. And they're encouraged by that to keep trusting and following Jesus. This is the humongous power of your presence. Just turning up is powerful, and it cannot be underestimated. You know, in the ancient world, it was hard to be a follower of Jesus. When Paul wrote this letter, it was really hard. It seemed that everyone in the ancient world was hostile to Christian belief. They called Christianity stupid, foolish, offensive. And the persecution that came with that thinking followed. And I'm sure you've heard stories about persecution of Christians in the ancient world. But friends, it can often feel like the same way today, especially if we turn on our TVs or our radios or watch a movie or read a newspaper or a website. Ancient believers needed to band together for encouragement, and really, modern believers need to do the same too. So let us work hard at turning up. There are days when none of us feel like being here. We feel like rolling over and going back to bed. Or just a quiet morning at home would be better. On those days, it's a good thing to think of our brothers and sisters in Christ and turn up anyway, even when we're not really feeling like it in the morning. Why? So that we can be mutually encouraged by each other's faith in Jesus. But there's another reason to turn up. And Paul mentions it next. Have a look at verses 13 to 15. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. So the second gift that we see being given here is the gift of preaching for the Christians in Rome. Paul has the spiritual gift of preaching the good news of Jesus. That is, God has blessed him in a particular way that enables him to clearly and faithfully explain what Jesus did, about his death and resurrection, and also what Jesus taught. And about the forgiveness of sins and how heaven is the way to heaven is open. And that by accessing that, we do that by faith in Jesus. That is great news to share. And that message is an amazing gift to give. So this second gift is the preaching of the gospel. That is, telling someone the good news of Jesus. And friends, that is another reason to turn up. One of the key things that happens at church or connect group or any Christian gathering is that we are told and taught the good news of Jesus. In fact, if that's not happening at your church or connect group or Christian gathering, then it's probably time to find a new one, one that does do that. For the good news of Jesus is so good and so important, we need to hear it and keep hearing it. We need to think and explore all the implications of what it means that Jesus died on the cross for us and rose again to new life. For these events have profound consequences for our life right now, and even more importantly, for our eternity. So it's worthwhile spending lots of time thinking about it. And there's nothing better to help us to keep thinking about it than to regularly hear the good news of Jesus. Faithful and clear teaching is another great reason for us to make the effort to turn up. But there's actually another reason again. And we saw that other reason in our other passage in 1 Corinthians 12. That's the one that we read that was all about the spiritual gifts that everyone gives. For it's not just the preacher out the front that has a spiritual gift. Every Christian has not just one, but normally lots of spiritual gifts to bless God's people with. Not everyone is out the front, but that gift is no... That doesn't mean it's not an important gift. But God's people need musicians like Miriam to share their gift. They need kids' church teachers like Tara to share their gifts. They need administrators like Stan to share his gift. They need the people who fix things like James to share their gift. And they need people like Barbara to listen, to care, and to pray. And friends, I could just keep going, couldn't I? You know that there's a whole group of us here, and each of us have got lots of gifts, and we're using them all the time. There's a heap of gift giving whenever Christians meet, wherever they are. And it's one of those things which is so normal and happens every time that often we don't even notice that it's occurring. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. No, it really is happening. For when Christians meet, any Christian meeting has more gifts than at 1,000 Christmases. And so whenever we turn up to bless others with our gifts and be blessed in return, there's this great gift-giving that's going on all the time. What's the problem with holidays, friends? Thank you. They end. Even the best ones end, don't they? Even the long ones end. Do you know what I look forward to most about coming home? You know, that wasn't one that I had listed down here. But I know where you're coming from. No, it isn't the house with the familiar bed. And it isn't the garden, even though I love gardening. And it isn't even my dog who is so keen to see me. No, it's actually you. The best thing about Goulburn, and in fact the only reason I live here, is meeting with you people. There is not a Sunday where I don't come away from church encouraged after meeting with you. It's always encouraging. And I'm always glad that I made the effort to come. For this church has faithful preaching and the teaching of the good news of Jesus every Sunday, and not just by me. It has a myriad of spiritual gifts that get given every Sunday. And it has people who trust Jesus in their lives. Just like me. That's why I long to be with you again, even when I'm on holidays. This church is the best thing about the Southern Tablelands by a country mile. Friends, let us make the effort to turn up, to give our spiritual gifts, and to keep trusting and following Jesus together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that you did not just save us through the death of your Son Jesus, but that you also formed us into your people, a people spread out across the globe in little gatherings like this one, almost everywhere. Thank you that wherever we go, almost everywhere, we have family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that wherever we meet with them, we will encourage them and they will encourage us to keep trusting and following Jesus. And we thank you that there's also all those gifts going back and forth all over the place every time Christians meet. And we pray that we would marvel at what you are doing in this and not become casual about it. Treasure it in our hearts and regularly and faithfully turn up so that we might be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.